your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Yeah, with the 49ers playing this weekend. Huge weekend. John Dickinson got his start at this station. He covers the Warriors and 49ers and Giants in the Bay. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes here with an update on the 49ers and Lions. And we're just still basking in the afterglow of that tremendous Kings win last night. It's interesting. It looks like the Kings are almost following the Hawks around, because the Hawks left here, went to Golden State, and the Kings went to Golden State.
Yeah, you're right.
Now the Hawks right now are playing in Dallas, which is where the Kings will be tomorrow night. And the Hawks are giving the Mavs all – well, actually, that's in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah.
That's actually in Atlanta. But the Hawks are giving the Mavs all they can handle right
now. Yeah, yeah. Good game so far. Two-point game, almost halftime. Luka throwing it up, trying to beg for a foul like he always does. What's interesting about this, Whitey, the Kings – if I'm correct, should be in Dallas right now. They're in Dallas right now. So they'll be rested while the Mavericks will have to take the flight. It's only a short flight from Atlanta to Dallas, yes. But Dallas will be on the second night of a back-to-back. The Kings will be the rested team. No Kyrie tonight. He's banged up. So this should be a game. The Kings should be able to go in there and get a win.
What a great start that would be to this road trip.
That would be huge, because we had Alan Stiles on earlier in the crossover, and he's like, 5-2 should be well within reach. And I'm like, have you not watched the Kings all season long? Every time we do this, we get let down. And so if they get tomorrow, that would be a huge step in the right direction.
Yes. Domas continues to put up incredible numbers. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Will has been standing by. Hey, Will, you're on with the Drive Guys. How are you?
Will, you there?
Will.
Man. Yeah. Dude been on for about eight hours.
No tickets at Will Call. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. We'll give Tin a try. Sactown Sports. Hey, Tin, what's going on?
That was a good one. Good joke, Whitey. That's a concert joke.
Thank you.
And I would definitely buy tickets to see you three perform in a trio band or something.
Sure.
Appreciate that, Tin. What's up, man?
Mm-hmm. Oh, not much. You know what? For Barnes to score 39 career high, I was surprised, man. I thought, you know, he would have. I don't know how are his numbers. I know Kyle could do some research. I could do some myself, but he went to the same college as Michael Jordan, right?
Yes, yeah, thank you, Tim.
Carolina, Tim. Yeah. I mean, when you look at Harrison Barnes, you know, Tim, a loyal listener, so we like to give him some love. 39-32 over his last two games. Now, Whitey, what would you think his average was over the last six games?
About seven.
5.7 points.
Okay.
Shot attempts per game. Five shot attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Over his last two, Harrison Barnes is shooting 22 times per game.
I know that when he had the big game against the Hawks, I don't know if any of these people would want to admit it. They could be right, but I know there were some that thought that he was being showcased.
Yeah, and this is what somebody said on the YouTube chat, the text line. I think they are just showcasing Barnes before the trade deadline. Turns out HB can score. It has happened in the past in the NBA. We've heard those kind of rumors. I don't know if they are or not. And if they are showcasing him, Harrison Barnes has to be a part of it too. How does he feel about that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. We got the trade deadline in less than 2 weeks. I can't wait till it's over and done with. But we said earlier, if HB's playing like this or even half of this or a percentage of this, we'll take it. We'll keep him on this team, you know, because he defends, he can score, he's an option. And so I love what I'm seeing from him. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned Tin, and thank you for calling Tin, and he says some nice things on the text line. But Tin is maybe, and, you know, we've both been in broadcasting a long time, he's the most casual caller I think I've ever heard. Because he'll come on, it's like, hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah. He forgot he was on or something. It's like, what's up, Tin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he sees you on the street or something. Hey.
Hey.
How are you? Uh-huh. What's going on? Oh nothing. Yeah. So, anyway, we appreciate it. Oh, Will. Do we give Will another chance?
Give him one more shot. All right.
Hey, Will, what's up?
Yeah, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
What's going on, Will?
Oh, well, I'm just kind of wondering about this trade deadline, this upcoming trade deadline. Siakam. You know, he wasn't interested in Sacramento. But what about a Jaren Jackson from Memphis? I would trade a whole lot to get him. I don't know.
All right,
zero,
Will, thank
zero
you.
Zero chance, Will.
No chance.
Zero.
Not happening.
Zip, zero, zilch, nada. Memphis is not moving off of him. He's a reigning defensive player of the year,
he's
too.
Really
he's
good.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he's
there's
young,
just no
like,
reason for them to trade him.
Right. What are we giving up that they would be interested in?
Would solve a lot of our defensive problems.
Kyle, don't even entertain that, man. Put that in your trade machine and come up with something.
You're right, but it would also create more problems for Memphis.
Like,
and they're having a bad year as it is. So why in the world do they know? Yeah, we'll trade you one of our best guys for things we don't need. That's it all. Takes two to tango, right?
You know,
keep that in mind.
Will, I appreciate Will calling back.
Me too.
But next time, just tweet that out and let people weigh in on that. That's not for our show. I'm sorry.
Ask
that bothers
us on the
me.
Chat.
Ask us on the chat, something like that. Everybody's this closet GM now, you know, this social media GM. Oh, how come we don't go out there? Jason Tatum, I tell you what, that guy would be a great fit on. It's not happening. Why are, you know, it's like, why even bring that up?
I mean, what has that guy, Jason Tatum, ever done?
Right.
I mean,
is there anybody that we think might be available that makes sense? Does Jeremy Grant make sense? And I'm talking about the bigger fish. Does DeJounte Murray make sense? Does Kyle Kuzma make sense? Does Zach LaVine make sense? To me, the more I think about it, I could see how Jeremy Grant would be a good fit. But all things considered, it doesn't seem like the Kings are really interested in pursuing any of that.
Yeah, none of those are like, you know, making me excited anymore. Like, we've talked about all those guys.
Yeah.
And at the time, it's like, yeah. But now, the more you think about it, the more I believe Monty will make a smaller move, a Matisse Thybulle, something like that. I keep bringing his name up because, to me, he would be the perfect fit. I don't think we're going to, you know, especially if this team wins a few more games, if Harrison Barnes continues to show he can play well, Kevin Herter's playing well. Remember, we started all this conversation. Herter was struggling. You know, we were talking about, oh, man, you know, we may have to upgrade over Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter's been great the last 2 weeks or so. And so I don't want to move on from him. Harrison Barnes has been playing well. And so I think it's, you know, I hate to set myself up for this, but I'm expecting smaller moves. I'm not expecting the big fireworks come February.
It looks like there's a very reasonable chance that last year's team is back. That it's like you're
and are
playing,
we okay with that?
Well, yeah, because they're playing well. And given that if you go out and get a big name, you're going to have to overpay, right? That's the reality.
Right.
You're going to have to overpay. And does that really help you in the long run?
It doesn't. And I go back to the conversation we had last hour about where the Kings are and what they need to become a championship contender. Whoever you bring in, they aren't the cure-all to be a championship contender. And so why give up a lot right now if just to bring in a Zach LaVine who isn't going to make you a championship contender? Why not let it develop, let Keegan ascend, and then next year during the offseason or trade deadline, then you make that Aaron Gordon type of move, not this year.
Let's say that the Nets came to you and said, all right, Drapes, we need you to pass this on to Monty, but you can have Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith, and we need HB, and we need a first-rounder and a second-rounder.
No. I'm not doing that deal. Fine players, Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith, but I don't think they're an upgrade over Harrison Barnes, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. We just had the numbers.
Last week, would you have done it?
No, because Harrison Barnes, if you look at the numbers, is having a better season than either of those guys.
I'm with you, but I think one of those guys, if you could get one of those guys and he could come off the bench for you, I think that makes your team better.
Yes, but then who's starting?
Probably have to be HB still.
Right. I wouldn't give up Harrison Barnes. I'm saying I wouldn't take those guys instead of Harrison Barnes. That's what I was saying.
Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith are both backups on this current Sacramento Kings.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they're
I think
backups.
So. Yep. Yeah.
So would be Matisse Thybulle. So would some of these other names we've been talking about for the last month or so.
If 2 weeks ago or last week, if you'd said, what about this? And the guy will come off the bench. And we talked about these trades. I would have felt like that doesn't really do anything. And now I feel like, no, that might actually help you because you had 40% of your starting lineup from last year that was like invisible. And now it's like, oh, okay, they're back.
They're back. Yeah. Exactly. This is what And this is the reason why Monty brought Harrison back, why they didn't make any major splashes. You thought there would be continued development with the chemistry and the cohesiveness with this five-man group.
Real quick on Domas, he now has a double-double streak of 26, which is the second longest in franchise history. I assume, and he broke Oscar Robertson's record for second, but I think the Big O still probably holds the record for first.
Yes.
And then Domas is also on pace to become just the third center ever to average more than 8 assists per game. And last year was right at 8, but only Jokic and Wilt Chamberlain are centers who have averaged more than 8 assists per game. And right now he's on track to do that. You know what's amazing about him? Watching the Warriors last night, and I realized, okay, Mike Brown decided they were going to have Domas, and he was kind of going to do for the Kings what Draymond did for the Warriors. Well, defensively, Draymond's way better than Domas. But right now, Domas, offensively, he's doing it way better than Draymond Green ever did.
Yeah.
Ever.
And Domas has figured out the right combination of when to shoot and when to pass, and supremely confident, walking double-double. You mentioned the streak. I mean, and the thing is, we know what he can do. Opponents know what he's trying to do, and they still can't stop it.
Mm-hmm. John Dickinson's going to join us with some thoughts on the Kings and the Warriors. Also, he's been at 49er practice all week long. So does he think the 49ers are going to have an easy time? We'll find out when we return here. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Yeah, our next guest got a start right here at the Sporty 1140, and now he's a Bay Area Sports Talk fixture. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. He covers the 49ers, the Warriors, the Giants for KNBR, the great John Dickinson. JD, I think the only other time the Kings beat the Warriors in San Francisco, I think you and I watched the game together, and I think it was our forgettable gap year, and I think Marvin Bagley actually had a good game.
Yeah, it was the 15-50 Warriors season that was shortened on March 11th, 2020 due to COVID, and then the Kings obviously invited to the bubble. The Warriors were not invited to the bubble with the 15-50 record. But yeah, I was kind of digging back through the notes, and there's been so many close games and back and forths between the two teams. But yeah, it was that 19-20 season, the last time that Sacramento had actually won a regular season game inside Chase Center. Obviously, they won game 6 to force game 7 back in April.
Sure. We've been trying to figure out the whole show what has gotten into Harrison Barnes. You know his game well. You know the Kings and Warriors well. Do you have any idea what's going on with HB?
I thought last night it was a little bit of the Warriors trying to dare him to be the player that would beat them, and he did. I think the Kings also hunted some matchups and have tried to go to Harrison Barnes a little bit more. It almost seemed to me, he had the 32-point game against the Hawks. It seemed to me like they had a little bit of a break in their schedule, and they did a self-assessment at 23-18 halfway through and thought, well, how do we get a little bit more out of them, right? Because there's so many nights where you look up and Fox has his numbers and Sabonis has his numbers and Malik Monk's been so good for the Kings. But Harrison Barnes is the guy on a night where they lose where you go, he only had 4, or he only had 6, or only took 3 shots, or whatever it is. And so I think it's as simple as having to be the kind of player from time to time that the head coach will draw up a play for. I know, the Warriors deal with this sometimes with Andrew Wiggins, and they both have real similar temperaments, right? They're both quiet guys. They're both professional and I think playing hard. But sometimes when the production isn't there, it looks like maybe they're not engaged or into it. And I think you have to, as a coach, get the player into it, get him the ball. And so Steve Kerr's done that with Wiggins at times where he's been a little lost or the numbers have been down. I also think part of it with Harrison could just be he's sick of hearing, everybody trying to run him out of town, at least in terms of the fan base. And maybe he's saying, I'm going to show up and show out and let the chips fall where they may. It feels like he's maybe playing a little angrier these last couple of games.
John Dickinson joining us on here on the Drive Guys. You can follow him on Twitter, JD John Dickinson. John, when you look at De'Aaron Fox, his numbers have been down. But the last couple of games, he's really stepped up. Specifically last night, Steph Curry is on the other side. National TV game. Hits two big-time dagger three-pointers late. What have you seen from De'Aaron Fox and him, you know, embracing the moment and wanting to be that guy in that moment?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, I even told a couple of Sacramento friends that I was talking to because, as you mentioned, Fox's numbers had been down after them being spectacular for the bulk of the season up until maybe the last couple of weeks. And I was talking to a few Sacramento people thinking, you know, with this game coming up between the Warriors and Kings, I said, you know what, the thing that's going to turn them around is TNT with the Warriors. Because he's just he's a matchup nightmare for everybody. He's really a matchup nightmare for the Warriors. I mean, we saw it in the playoff series. He can get whatever he wants. He's just that quick guard that can get into the paint, that has the little in-between game. His three-point shot obviously has been improved. That's been one thing that during the little downturn of the last couple of weeks that maybe hasn't been there quite as much as it was earlier in the year. But he loves playing the Warriors. You know, and him and Steph have a little thing going right now, obviously, with the partnership and the shoe deal. And I think, you know, that's something where he wants to put on his best face. So I think the national stage helped. And it was a quiet night. It was a quiet big night for Fox with Harrison going off and the Kings able to get into their flow. You know, I said on my show last night, I really thought that, you know, the Warriors allowed the Kings to get comfortable early in the game. And if you do that, the Kings are so talented offensively that they're going to get their 130. It's just going to be a matter of, can you get one more than they get? And it felt, you know, to me, as far as that game last night went, like the Kings played a pretty damn good game for pretty close to 48 minutes, if not the whole 48, where the Warriors were just hanging in, somehow hanging in, hanging around, Steph doing his thing, Kuminga, all of that. But the game, just from top to bottom, to me, it felt like it was more of a game last night where the Kings played a better game for a longer period of time, and that would have been one. Had the Warriors won it at the end, they would have earned it, but it would have, even on the Bay Area side of things, it would have felt a little bit like maybe the Warriors stole it.
John Dickinson with us, and JD, we appreciate your time very much, especially on a Friday. We also want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, the upcoming NFC Championship game. I know you've been spending a lot of time with the 49ers this week. We've been having a little back and forth about how easy this game could be for the 49ers. How serious a challenge do you think the Lions represent for San Francisco this week?
I think they're a serious and legitimate challenge, and I think everybody should be on alert a little bit in the Bay and in Northern California. Obviously, a ton of 49er fans in Sacramento and all over California, but I think, you know, there should be an appropriate fear of the Lions, given the fact that the 49ers did not play anywhere close to an A game, maybe a B game. Hell, I think you could make a case that they didn't even play a C game against the Packers, yet we're still able to win. And I was sort of left with the impression off of the Packers game that the Lions would have a lot of things they could look at that they feel like they could do better than the Packers did if the Niners are going to play that level of game and really have some action to potentially win the game. Now, that being said, I think offensively for the 49ers, the Lions do so many things, you know, that are, you know, risky in terms of blitz packages and things that they do to try and stop the run and the like, to where I think there are vulnerabilities in the Lions' defense that the 49ers can exploit. And if the 49ers have a buttoned-up game plan where they don't turn it over and they execute and Brock Purdy starts to, you know, look a little more comfortable, the weather shouldn't be an issue, look a little more like the guy in terms of confidence that he's been throughout the course of the season, I feel like the Niners can put up 40 on the Lions defense.
Geez.
Like there are that many holes. If you can block Hutchinson and you can get into the middle of that defense, their linebackers can't cover, their corners can't cover. If you get the right blitz calls, I think it could be a quick, short, five-yard pass that turns into a big game. Like, I think the Niners could do major damage offensively in this game, but you got to play buttoned up. And you can't turn it over. And, you know, the Lions have been a team that teams will be moving it on them, and then they'll make one play that'll basically wreck a whole drive. For the Rams, it happened. The Bucks, it happened. They'd get a big sack or a penalty, make one big play, and it would set things off course. And then I think the Niners defensively are vulnerable But they've had success against Jared Goff in the past, getting him off his spots, hurrying him into some bad decisions. This is a much better Lions offensive line than any of those Rams offensive lines were, and the Lions have weapons. So I feel like this has the potential to be a little bit of a shootout, especially with temperatures projected to be in the low 70s. I mean, that's going to be downright hot for January, even around here.
J.D., John Dickinson joining us. How much is on Brock Purdy's arm? Because we talked earlier this show about Detroit's run defense. Do you think their game plan is to shut down CMC? And is it going to be on Brock Purdy to pick apart this Lions defense?
I think it is. I do think that the Lions are going to do everything they can to try and stop the run. They've said it. I've watched a lot of Dan Campbell's press conferences this week. I mean, they've been all in on stop the run, stop the run, stop the run. Everything that the Niners do is predicated on the run. So I do think they're going to try to take CMC away. I'm interested to see how much Deebo Samuel is involved in the run game. He's going to be good to go, as I'm sure you guys have been talking about throughout the afternoon, and has looked pretty healthy. He went up and, you know, high pointed a couple going through the drills against Air today, where, you know, plays where you'd have to move that arm and move that shoulder up above your head with some quick. Now, it's all off the table until we see him get hit, and it's a pain tolerance issue. It sounds like it was a deep bone bruise. At least that's what Deebo had said when he spoke to everybody today, as opposed to something structural or a broken bone or hairline fracture like it was in the Cleveland game. So Deebo looks spry. I think he can play through the pain. But the Niners having the two weapons, I think, is critical, because even if the Lions can somewhat take CMC away, can you take Deebo away in addition to McCaffrey? Because Deebo, whether it's the short passing game or whether they just line him up in the backfield and straight hand it off to him, he's as important at times to the 49ers running game as McCaffrey is. But there's no doubt they're going to try to take it away, and I think the onus will for a good chunk of this game beyond Brock Purdy to have to beat the Lions in areas where they are the most vulnerable, which is pass defense, as long as the Niners can protect and keep Aiden Hutchinson out of the backfield.
All right, JD, before you get out of here, we got to ask you, do you have a prediction for us score-wise? You mentioned some numbers already, but do you have a score prediction for us for this game?
Yeah, I think the 49ers win 41-24.
Wow, jeez. Yeah.
JD, you just said we need to be wary of the Lions. This, and now you're talking about a 17-point blowout win?
Yeah, I mean, 17 is, well, I think there's different ways you can get to 17. Like, I think the Niners are going to feel threatened in this game, but I think it swings on the Niners. You know, the 41 is contingent on the Niners not turning it over, which I think they are, you know, going to do everything they can to not. And I think it swings on a, like, I think it's a 3 to 10 point game throughout most of it. And as the Lions, if the Niners can get ahead, are trying to come back, maybe there's that one turnover late that the Niners are able to punch it in and kind of make it look like a blowout when it won't necessarily feel like a blowout over the course of the afternoon and on into the evening.
Gotcha, JD. You know, the truth is hard for an Eagles fan to hear. That's all. Eagles fan has a hard time listening.
I'm a Lions fan this week.
Fan this week. JD, you're the best. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me, fellas. We appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, the one and only John Dickinson. So last night, end of the game, Kings win after Herter misses a couple free throws. Steph fumbles the ball away. How come the Warriors didn't call timeout? Steve Kerr's answered that question when we return. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Want to thank John Dickinson for being with us. You spooked him a little bit, Kyle, because I texted him to thank him, and he said, I probably should have said 34-24. So you spooked him.
He's backpedaling like Deion Sanders already, huh?
Still, he's got the 49ers winning.
What did he say, 41-24?
41-24.
That's a massive. That's a beatdown. That's, and he tried to
you
couch
it. You
were
so excited when he said, I think the Lions are
right.
A legitimate threat.
Exactly, a legitimate threat. I think it could be a game. And Niners fans, you got to be aware of these guys. 41-24.
That's five touchdowns, two field goals. Right. The Niners might not have seven possessions in the entire game, the way Kyle Shanahan likes dominating time of possession.
You know what it is when you really look at these things, whether it's basketball or whatever, but especially applies to a big-time football game, there's it's just a matter of which, all these outcomes, which is more likely, you know? And that's the most likely, but the Lions could somehow win this thing in a squeaker. But I'm with JD. Most likely, the biggest path to what's probably going to happen here, right down the middle of all these potential realities, is 49ers winning by a fairly comfortable margin.
Most likely.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always occur.
Of course.
We saw it last week against the Packers. And so anything is possible.
Starting the game is going to matter a lot. And the thing that's interesting, these are maybe the two best coaches in the league at scripted play offensive execution.
I so like that, Kyle.
Maybe Ben Johnson has something up his sleeve to jump out 7-0.
Speaking of coaches, when JD and I, when I was doing Warrior stuff with him, you know, even when the Warriors won that last championship in 2022, there were a lot of Bay Area fans like, he doesn't know what he's doing. Steve Kerr doesn't know what he's doing. So I can't imagine how much criticism he's facing today after not taking a timeout in the Warriors' final possession. They end up losing to the Kings last night. You know the situation. The Warriors are down one. Kevin Huerter shooting free throws. He misses them both. The Warriors decide not to take a timeout. They don't take a timeout. They lose the game. Here's Steve Kerr to explain their thinking.
I really prefer the scramble situations at the end of games where a defense can't, you know, get set up and make subs, and you know, and so I you know, this is one that, you know, it keeps you up at night, you know. You know, maybe the time to take the timeout would have been earlier when we didn't have the spacing, maybe, you know, 12, 13 seconds left. But once we got the ball out to Steph and Draymond stepped into the pick and roll, I like that picture. And that's kind of, you know, what we've done for a long time. And like I said, they made a good defensive play and, you know, they deserved the win.
One of the reasons you don't call timeout there is because you don't want the defense to get set up, of course. As you
know. I get that, yeah.
And yet, even though the Kings didn't have the benefit of a timeout to set up their defense was just about spot on.
It was perfect. And clock winding down, Steph Curry with the ball. You can't leave, I don't care who your defender is, De'Aaron Fox, whoever it may be, you can't leave him on an island with Steph Curry in that situation. And so Kevin Huerter, decision to run the double, you get the trap, forced the turnover. It was perfect execution. The timing was perfect. Now, to Steve Kerr's point, and some people are going to, you know, Monday morning quarterback him and say, oh, you should have called a timeout. You know, we've seen them not call a timeout, and Steph Curry hits a dagger, hits a game winner. And so it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. With that being said, if Steve could have called a timeout once he saw with like 3 seconds left or something, something, once they saw the play was going nowhere, but by that time, referees aren't paying attention, you're on the other end, it's kind of tough. And so that's one of those situations where, just get a Kings credit, their defensive execution late game in that situation was perfect.
Kevin Huerter made the perfect decision to leave Draymond Green. And as we said earlier, Kevin Huerter at 6'7", you know, he can really, if he is doubling you, he's blitzing you, that could be a real effective trap. And, you know, Draymond doesn't like the ball back in that situation. And then you had Kuminga, who's a fine player. He's in the other corner. That was a terrible possession. It was just an awful possession for the Warriors. And I think I agree with you. The one thing that probably Kerr is wrestling with, you know, coaches, we're going to do this. It didn't work out. Oh, well. But that's the thing. It's like, I should have called it. At some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
And could I also push back and say Steph Curry needs to give up the ball in that situation a little sooner?
He made a bad read.
Yeah, he made a bad read.
He like back
went
dribble.
The wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, there was nothing there.
It was nothing there. And so Steph Curry didn't execute in that stretch. But if you're going to, you know, criticize Steve Kerr, that isn't the play to do it. Like, you know, sure, he's made some mistakes over there, but not calling the timeout when you got Steph Curry with the ball in his hands, I mean, you got to live and die with that.
Yeah. I was sitting there watching with my wife, you know, Herter misses the first free throw.
Ah.
And then after the second, and you're thinking, yeah, well, you know who's getting the ball.
Right.
And for them not to get a shot up.
Not to get a
bad.
Shot.
And again, Kings deserve a lot of credit for that. But not to get a shot up is dreadful.
Dreadful. And because you're Golden State, you're the team mm-hmm. with all the experience, the mm-hmm. championship pedigree. You're the team that doesn't fold under pressure in the clutch. You know, we did the box score exercise earlier. One thing that stood out to me is 13 turnovers for Golden State. That's pretty low for them. Like, usually in a game like that, they'll win, but they collapsed at the end. Not only with the turnover by Steph, but how about the out-of-bounds play that Jay Triano drew up to get Domantas Sabonis the dunk, too, as well, right before that. I thought that
great
was
call.
Great yeah. call. Fantastic. They worked him over like a cheap suit, like Domas getting free like that. And so Kings won that game. I don't think the Warriors lost that game. The Kings went out there and took that game.
Yeah, now tomorrow night, of course, the Kings take on the Mavericks, and the Mavericks they're up 11 in the third quarter at Atlanta. Luka has 51, but you know Luka, if he has 51 tonight, then tomorrow night.
What? You sounded like that fan, that Devin Booker fan that had the jersey on.
Get on a treadmill.
Get on a treadmill, Luka. No, he's primed and ready. 19 of 24 shooting. He's shooting 79%. From the field
really?
Tonight, yes.
70% from three, too.
Yeah, seven of ten from three.
Which is crazy because I've been kind of like glancing at this game as it's going on. It doesn't feel like he's dominating like that, but every time I look up, he's hitting a three-pointer, I guess.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, the road trip continues. And then Kyrie not playing tonight. His status for tomorrow, uncertain.
Uncertain.
And you said Sasha is...
Sasha is listed as questionable
wow.
on the injury report. Wasn't it just like 3 days ago they said he'd be reevaluated in 7 to
yeah.
14 days?
Yeah.
And so questionable means 50-50. I do believe, I think they landed in Dallas and immediately had a practice, I think. So we'll see. But that would be shocking if he suits up
especially
tomorrow.
Especially because didn't he sprain both ankles over the – wasn't it first the left
first
ankle?
One and then
and then he played on that one and then sprained the
sprained
other one.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. The fact that he's questionable, that's – I mean, it was 3 days ago we just talked about where they said 7 to 14 days. It's been 2 or 3 days, and here he is questioning.
Laughter is the best medicine, yep. and they were all having so much fun last night. All
right, everybody's feeling 100%.
We head into NFC Championship weekend with, I think, a very positive note for 49er fans. When we return, Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SactownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sactown Sports app.
Well, 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 well. This is our last segment before the NFC Championship game. And hey, let's not overlook the AFC Championship game, right?
That's a big-time heavyweight matchup. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I'll be surprised if the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs had a few things go their way that they needed to have go their way to beat the Bills. Mm. And, you know, offensively, they're not what they used to be. And it's tremendous what they've done again, getting back to the AFC title game again. But I think the Ravens are the better team.
The better team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think the Ravens are a more complete team. I think their offense is better than Kansas City. Kansas City's defense is tough, though.
Yes.
That's, you know, but Lamar Jackson is a cheat code. It's like Kansas City's defense is great against a normal pocket, you know, quarterback. Lamar Jackson blows up.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners had a great defense, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson blew it up. And so this is a toss-up. I'm going to go Ravens, though, this week.
Yeah, me too. I read something today in The Athletic that said the Ravens are, they're one of two teams ever, like, 07 Patriots or the other team to have a scoring margin of plus 100 against playoff teams.
Yeah.
Now it's a little watered down. As you know, Kyle was saying, there's more playoff teams now, but still, it's a very, very solid team. And they've been very consistent.
This might be the best, the linebacker and safety unit for the Ravens, the back seven, essentially. It might be the best back seven in the NFL since at least the Legion of Boom, if not
really?
Longer than that.
Okay.
Between Kyle Hamilton, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Kansas City's going to struggle with them because their offense is very precision based now, and I don't believe they're going to be able to avoid the incompletions and the mistakes that will kind of shut down their offense against Baltimore.
Before we get to the 49ers, and I mentioned some, I think this is good news. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's go to TC.
TC, on man. Sports.
Hey, TC, what's up?
Hey, man, look, man, Whitey, hey, Drake, hey, I know y'all checking out, man, it's at the end of the day, but I have to tap in. Hey, check it out. Look, hey, first and foremost, Drake, I know Harrison Barnes had a good game last night, bro, but if the Nets is calling and, like, give us HB in a couple of picks, you can have Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finn, I'm doing that, bro, because that's shaking it up, and you know those guys is bringing guests. Defense and rebounding, I'm doing it. If we went from HB's on a trading block, right? To let's get HB, let's put him in a package. To okay, HB had two good games. So now everybody's like, oh, let's not trade Harrison Barnes now. Let's keep him. If that's the case, we shouldn't have been in that boat anyway, bro. Seriously, as far as the Niners go, the Niners win 27-16 if Kyle Shanahan. Listen, hold on, Whitey and Drake. If Shanahan doesn't get in his own way, if he gets cute and wants to get in his own way, Dan Campbell will bite kneecaps, bro, and we will lose to the Detroit Lions. Hey, Drake, I promise you, that's coming from a diehard Niner fan, Whitey. Look, if Shanahan gets cute, bro, I promise you we will lose.
There you go, right, TC. We'll you great Monday, call, TC. Man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
He got in right at the final buzzer, right? The last segment is like, I'm going to call my guys up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about HB in his comment.
Okay.
He would do to Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney-Smith.
You know, you're not
I'm not buying that. HB's better than those guys. He's having a better season than those guys. And he hasn't even been aggressive, assertive, talking about Harrison Barnes. Give me an assertive Harrison Barnes. I'm not saying 24 shots or 20 shots or anything like that. Give me 12 shots a night, HB. That's all I ask. Give me 10 shots. That's all I ask. And so I like Harrison Barnes. He's shooting better than those guys from three-point range, averaging more points as your sixth option, fifth or sixth option. And so I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that deal.
Just comes down to, do you believe in the HB we've seen the last two games or not, right? Seriously.